Hello, everyone. Welcome to our call this evening. My name is Leslie Cunningham, and I specialize in helping couples improve their financial situation while building a wealthy relationship with each other. I developed a system called the Financial Dating Success System, and I've also received the federal trademark on the term financial dating, which I'll be talking a little bit more about later in our call. And as you know, the name of our call this evening is Money and Marriage, Finding a Peaceful Compromise, Discovering How to Overcome Partner Differences in Spending Habits and Money Management Skills. So this is a very in-depth topic. We could spend several hours on this. And my goal for all of you this evening is to give you 6 concrete steps that you can walk away with and start integrating in your relationship around the areas of money. So if you don't already have some paper and a pen or pencil handy, make sure you grab that because you'll definitely want to take some notes this evening. This is also a preview call for my Financial Dating Summer Camp, and the subtitle for the summer camp is on my informational material that I've been sending out. The subtitle is How to Get on the Same Page, Even If You Have Radically Different Spending Habits and Money Skills, and How to Share Money, Improve Your Finances While Creating More Connection and Synergy in Your Relationship. And this will take place during 7 weeks of summer fun through teleconference like we're doing this evening. And that series actually starts this coming Tuesday on July 10th. If you want more information on that, let me just tell you how you can get more information really quickly. You can go to springwindcoaching.com, and that's springwindcoaching.com/newsletter/summercampscholarship.php. I know that's a lot. I'll just repeat it one more time in case you didn't get it the first time. And if needed, you can also email me. The web address again is springwindcoaching.com/, that's with the slash, leaning to the right, /summercampscholarship.php. So for those of you that haven't been on a conference line before, let me just give you a few quick phone etiquette details, and then I'll go into the bulk of the call. I also want to mention I'll be ending the call straight up on the hour. And yet, also, if you have any additional questions that you'd like to ask, I'll be available. I'll stay later to make sure that I answer everybody's questions. But if you need to leave, please feel free to leave at the top of the hour. This is a conference line, so I'd like to encourage you to keep the line open because I want to have this be a very interactive call. If you have questions, I encourage you to interrupt, just speak up. And also, if you end up having some background noise and you need to mute yourself out, on this conference line, this particular one, you can mute yourself out by pressing 4-star, and then you'll hear a voice that says line muted. You'll be the only one that hears that. No one else will hear it. And then you can unmute yourself by also hitting 4-star, and you'll hear the voice again that says line unmuted. Once again, we'll try and keep the lines nice and quiet and clear so that nobody has to mute themselves. And if you do have something that you want to ask, please just state your name first before you start talking, and then just ask your question. So if I were to ask a question, I just say, this is Leslie. I have a question I was wondering about, blah, 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 and then just go ahead and state your question. Last 2 things I'll mention are my email address. If you'd like to email me, you can email me at Leslie, and that's spelled L-E-S-L-I-E, Leslie@springwindcoaching.com. And my phone number, if you need to call and you want to talk over, any questions that you have, or maybe you'll have some questions about the summer camp series that I have coming up, My phone number is 406-586-5561. That's 406-586-5561. All right, let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to cover tonight. I will share a little bit about my personal story, how I came to be involved with this kind of work, why this work is so meaningful to me, and why I'm so passionate about it. I have my own personal journey that I've been on that's brought me to where I now offer this work to other people. And then I'm going to take a real quick couple of minutes and just kind of have a quick go-around with the people on the call. And since we're talking tonight about the money differences that we experience in our relationship, be thinking about what is one of the money differences that you experience in your relationship, in your marriage, that you kind of feel like is a little bit of a hang-up for you. Maybe this is something that you're currently experiencing or that you've experienced in the past. But let's just lay a few of these examples out on the table before we jump into, okay, how is it that we're going to fix these things? So we'll have a brief group sharing, and then I'm going to share with you 6 concrete steps that you can take to resolve your money differences. And I've designed these steps to be both a linear approach concerning around like money, financial nuts and bolts. What are some money steps that you can take to resolve this conflict? And what are some more kind of right-brained, intuitive, internal approaches that you can take to resolve your differences in your relationship around money? Maybe these are changes in the way that you have beliefs about your partner and how you interact with your partner. But you'll see what these 6 concrete steps are. Just know that it's a blending of these 2 things, a linear approach and a more kind of relationship behavioral approach of internal changes that we can make, as well as how we interact with our partner. And that's something unique that I do. A lot of people in the financial industry either focus on a completely right-brained approach and just talk about your relationship and things that are going on in your relationship and how you're interacting, or they just approach it from a strictly financial, what are the numbers, let's crunch the numbers. And I believe the most effective way, I know this from my own personal experience, is a blending of these 2. So that'll be the bulk of the call. And then towards the end, I save time for a testimony. I actually have a couple who will be sharing about their own experience through attending one of the workshops that I held and how they've integrated this financial dating success system into their personal lives. And this will become more clear what financial dating is, as I mentioned, as we progress through the call. I'm definitely going to describe that in more detail for you. And the very last piece is I'll be talking about the structure and the format of the financial dating summer camp that's starting next week. Are there any questions at all?
Not yet.
Okay, great. As far as my personal story, I absolutely love sharing this with people. I've been with my husband for 6.5 years now, and we've been married for 3 years. Actually, we just celebrated our 3-year anniversary, which last week, so that was really exciting, and that's a success in and of itself. And when we first got married, we spent several months on the road. We took 4 months off and traveled, did a lot of traveling, and then we also did some traveling overseas. For 2 months we were overseas. Went to New Zealand and Tahiti, had a great time. This was kind of our extended and belated honeymoon, and had wonderful adventures. And inevitably, we ended up running out of the cash that we had set aside. So we started making charges to our credit card. We came home after this great trip and bought a new home, And in the process of buying a new home, like many of you can probably relate to, we had several household improvement projects and landscaping projects. And then there were inevitably other things that we needed to buy as well. Once again, we ended up putting these purchases on a credit card because we were just starting out. We didn't have enough money to cover these expenses. And I remember a very, very particular day, actually, when I was walking back from the mailbox and I was flipping through the bills and I saw a credit card statement. It was my husband's credit card. And I remember thinking, I felt this panicky feeling in my stomach. I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, I really don't have any idea how much debt he has. And I don't really know. I'm scared about how he's going to handle money as we, later on in our marriage. Once again, this was all still so new. I wasn't even really certain how he handled money, but I had seen some ways that he spent money that I knew was very different from my own way. And so during this time, we had separate accounts. We didn't have enough retirement. And I am also very comfortable sharing with you that during a period of several years, we had actually acquired, and this was even before we had been married, we had acquired over $43,930 in credit card debt. And we did have a lot of arguments. So I decided that we needed to do something about this. I didn't know what to do, and so I asked him if he would be willing to set aside a time to talk about money. I didn't know how we were going to talk about it or what we were going to say. I just wanted to know if he'd be willing to do it. And he was willing, and yet he was also very skeptical. But I was just happy that he was willing. And so we came to call this time, we came to refer to this as our financial dates. And during this time, through the course of months, and then it progressed to years, we got rid of our credit card debt. It didn't happen overnight. We actually got rid of it. It was a 3-year plan to get it paid off, and we ended up getting it paid off in less than 2.5 years. And we set up emergency savings accounts. Our retirement accounts got fully funded. We knew how much money we had coming in, going out, where it was going, all these really specific concrete financial goals that every couple strives to work towards achieving and yet struggles towards actually doing it. And actually, to be honest, it didn't surprise me that we achieved those goals because I knew if we set aside time that we would achieve, if we set aside time to focus on money, that we would make progress in the areas of money. But the thing that really surprised me was how close we grew in our relationship, how excited we became around sharing our vision for improving our finances together as a couple. And I swear to you, if you would have asked me like 4 years ago if working on money with your partner could be fun and empowering and exciting, I would have said that there was no way that it was possible. It just couldn't happen. But it absolutely did happen, and it became just an amazing process. In fact, we finished up with our financial dates, and my husband couldn't wait to, get started on the homework, our little action steps that we would take after having our financial dates. And he was so skeptical in the beginning, so it was definitely a miracle for us. And I realized that it was so effective for us that it had to be effective for other couples as well. So I began teaching this in my coaching practice. And I have had several financial dating workshops now. And it's amazing just to see the people that swear by it and the changes that they've had. So once again, that's why I've asked a couple to share a little bit about that later in the call. All right, so grab your pen and your paper, and let's jump in to the 6 concrete steps that you can take to resolve money differences and that will also help you respect your partner's money behaviors and still be able to reach a peaceful compromise. Step number one that I want to share with you is one that many of you may not be familiar with. I call this Know Your Money Personality. Know Your Money Personality. So what the heck does that mean? I have a friend of mine and a colleague. I consider her to be a mentor as well. Her name is Olivia Mellon, and she wrote a book called Money Harmony for Couples. She's been on Oprah five or six times, the Today Show 2020, and she came up with money personality types. This was about 20 years ago. And it's really helpful to realize what your money personality is. Often what happens is we just get frustrated because our partner is different, has a different way of handling money than we do. And so we just get frustrated because the behavior is different than how we would like it to be. You know what I just realized? I'm going to push the pause button on what I'm sharing, and I really want to get some feedback from all of you. I told you that I would do this. Before I go into talking about these different money personality types, let's just take a quick moment of sharing. What are some of the money differences that you've experienced in your relationship, in your marriage around money? Let's just name what some of these things are. And you don't even have to state your name for this purpose. Let's just throw a few things out.
Selfishness would be a rather common one for me.
Okay. Selfishness. So selfishness, give me an example of that real quick, if you don't mind.
Oh, I would rather... in the past, take any extra money and usually would end up spending, buying something for myself rather than for us.
Great. Perfect example. So thinking of how to spend money for yourself as opposed to how to spend money on your partner in your relationship. Great. And if you're on mute, all you need to do is press 4-star to come off of mute. So selfishness around money. What's another one? Maybe this is a challenge you're having now, or maybe it's a challenge that you've experienced in the past.
My wife and I, this is Mark in San Francisco, we have issues around sticking to budgets that we initially create,
uh-huh.
And we both work freelance. So we don't always know what's coming in money-wise,
uh-huh.
And sometimes there are weeks with no pay or weeks with no jobs, and sometimes there are weeks with 5 or 6 jobs in 1 week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very erratic way to get paid,
mm-hmm.
And so we try to create a budget, and we try to stick to, like, we give each other maybe $80 to $100 a week in cash, and we try to stick with that as opposed
uh-huh.
to using the ATM card and bringing that everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Inevitably, it falls apart somewhere along the week or within the month due to, like, just grabbing a meal here outside or something like that.
Yeah.
It's difficult just staying to something when we have such an erratic flow of cash coming in.
Yes. Oh, boy. I know exactly what you're talking about. And my husband and I are both self-employed, so I've personally experienced that. And I've worked with a lot of other self-employed professionals that have gone through that as well. And if I don't, remind me towards the end of the call, if you're able to stay on, I can give you a few specific things that you can use if I don't mention it during the call around erratic income.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that I share that with you. So please remind me if I don't.
Sure, thanks.
Yeah, great. So sticking to a budget and having income that fluctuates. What's another difference? Let's just get two more. Let's just throw two more out there.
This is Laura from the Bronx. I guess if one person is more optimistic than the other about what's going to be coming in later, like some people are really want to hold on tight. Some people like live to they want to put everything away for a rainy day, and some people want to live on it, you know, like, and they actually don't want to, like, they want to have a vacation, they want to not be so tight-fisted, you know, and then they're on the other end, you know, I know what from watching my parents, my mother's concerned that my dad's going to spend all of their retirement money because he likes the finer things, Brooks Brothers and all that kind of stuff, but she, you know, she doesn't feel like she can say anything. You know, I've been lucky in many respects as, you know, being with people who have similar, like, I'm also a freelance producer, and so money comes in big spurts, and then it doesn't come in, and then whatever, so you kind of have to get used to that roller coaster, but some people just really aren't used to that roller coaster.
Yeah, absolutely, and I love what you said about the difference of, what was it, your mom wanting to put money away for a rainy day?
Right.
And then your dad wanting to spend it and enjoy it and use it.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. That's just perfect. That's really going to support this sharing that I have around money personality types. Let's get one more. Who else would like to share something around money differences that they've experienced in their marriage or their relationship? Well, let's have one more sharing. And this can also be a personal challenge that you just experience.
Leslie, this is Sydney.
Hi, Sydney.
I'd like to throw out there the difference in wanting to be supportive to your children and give money to your children, whether they be young or, you know, grown.
Yeah. Boy, and that's one that comes up a lot, isn't it?
Yes.
Wanting to help out our kids and putting money towards college education, and maybe we haven't even adequately taken care of ourselves yet or our own retirement and how they know, and also
or bail grown children out of debt, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up. Very important. Great. So thank you, everyone, for sharing. So think about these differences, and those of you that didn't share, that's fine, too. Be thinking about where you fall into these different money personality categories that I'm going to share with you this evening. Now, the importance of these money personalities is that I want to help you become aware of, even though we see these behaviors in our partners that we don't like, and many times we see these behaviors in ourselves and we don't like it, we don't understand it. But if we can step back and get a little bit broader perspective about what our money personality is and what our partner's money personality is, this helps us get a better understanding of what might be going on. So the first money personality is, once again, in these personalities, we're kind of focusing on the negative components of these personalities that I'm going to share this evening. But realize that there are also positive components of these money personalities as well. There's many of them. I'm just going to share a few with you. And once again, Olivia Mellon came up with these money personality types. So the first money personality type is a hoarder. So somebody that tends to hoard their money. And think about what ways might this, what kind of behavior patterns might somebody who hoards their money have in their relationship? Somebody just throw an example out there. What's one of the things that come to your mind?
They're secretive.
They're secretive. Good. And what do they tend to do with their money? Where do they put it?
Under the mattress? I don't know.
Some of them do, actually. They tend to, like, save it and want to keep it. So you can think of these, a hoarder as being like a saver. And for people that hoard money, for them, money equals security. Money is security to them. Now, the second money personality type is a spender. So these are the main money personality types. For a spender, well, it's easy to imagine. In fact, we've already had an example that I believe it was that Laura shared about her father who was a spender. A spender enjoys, for them, money equals love and pleasure. Money makes them feel good.
And so that's the emotional motivation for spending money. Those are the two main ones, a hoarder and a spender. There are also binger money personality types. And these people are a combination of maybe they hoard it and then they spend it. And then they hoard it for a long period of time and then they get frustrated and so they spend it because they felt like that they've been denying themselves. So they go the other extreme. So that's a binger. A fourth money personality type is a money worrier, somebody that constantly worries about money. A fifth one is a money avoider. I see this one come up a lot in my classes and with the individual clients that I work with, people who would rather just avoid money or they're in a relationship with a partner who wants to avoid money. So what happens if we're in a relationship, just take a guess here, if we're in a relationship with a partner who wants to avoid money, what does the other partner tend to do? How might we balance each other out? David Bach likes to say that we tend to be attracted to our financial opposite. So if we're in a relationship with somebody who would rather avoid money, then the other person tends to be the one who maybe hoards it or worries about it or takes on all the responsibility around money. So we balance each other out because somebody's got to take care of it. Now, not always. There are definitely times when you'll have two avoiders in a relationship together, and that's when, I mean, you could probably ask anybody in the financial industry, and you see this reflected in how they handle their money and, you know, their credit card debt and how much money they have in savings. The other, let's see, I think I'll just mention one more. One more money personality is the risk taker, and this tends to be men, but not always, not necessarily so. And these are people that love to take risks. To them, money is excitement and exciting. And if it doesn't involve excitement, if it's something that involves like setting your money aside in a mutual fund and just watching it grow, that can become very boring to them. And they really like the adrenaline rush. Once again, there's positive attributes for all of these, but we're focusing on the negative attributes because we're wanting to learn the lessons from this particular money personality. So here's your takeaway from these money personalities that I shared with you this evening. I'd like you to think about, what is your money personality? How would you, you know, maybe you have another term that you would use. But think about how you would describe your own money personality and what is your partner's money personality? And then what I would like to encourage you to do is to practice what is called the non-habitual. So if you are a hoarder and you love to watch your money grow and it's very hard for you to spend money on yourself and enjoy it, you might actually be in a relationship with somebody who is a spender, and they get a lot of pleasure from that. And how can you practice the non-habitual in around money? Look at your partner for clues. It doesn't mean that you have to have the same money behaviors, but look at how your partner is able to spend money on themselves and enjoy it. How might you enjoy your money more? Maybe it's something simple like going out to a movie. It doesn't have to cost a lot. Maybe it's buying yourself a coffee if you tend to be a hoarder. If you're a spender, what could you do that would be practicing the non-habitual for you? Maybe instead of, you know, spending your money at the end of the month and realizing there's nothing left over for savings, maybe one little baby step for you would be putting $20 aside into a savings account, just starting small at least. Maybe it's something completely different. Only you can know what it is. So practice the non-habitual and then, you know, just monitor your progress. But realize that this is what causes a lot of conflicts in our relationships. It's that we have a different money personality type than our partner.
So start thinking about what you can do instead of focusing on your partner's fault. Think about what you can do to start improving your own money personality and how you handle money. It starts with ourselves first. And what we tend to do is start with our partner first, unfortunately. It's just an easy thing to do. Does anyone have any questions about that? Okay. Great. That's pretty self-explanatory, and it can be pretty enlightening to help us take kind of the big picture approach. All right, so that's the first one, know your money personality. The second one, as I mentioned at the beginning of this call, this is going to include some linear money approaches, systems approaches, and also the more internal approaches as far as how we handle money and interact with our partner. So the second approach I want to share with you is more of a money systems approach. It is the pay yourself first and make it automatic. And if you've listened to David Bach, he wrote the book Automatic Millionaire. He has a lot to say about this. And I'm actually going to share a little bit from one of his books here. So pay yourself first and make it automatic. And in order to give you more of an idea of what that means, let me share this with you from his book. It's the Automatic Millionaire Workbook by David Bach. He says, so it's clear that pay yourself first is the one get rich plan that actually makes sense. But what does it mean? Look at it this way. When you earn a dollar, before the money even gets into your paycheck, Uncle Sam gets a cut for federal income tax. Then there's the state tax. On top of that, you have Social Security taxes, Medicaid, and unemployment taxes. So before you actually get that money in your hands, the government has taken out 35 to 40 cents of your hard-earned dollar. But it wasn't always this way. Before 1943, people took home everything they earned, and the government came calling for taxes in the spring. But people often didn't save enough money to pay their taxes. The government's solution to this problem was brilliant. The IRS automated the process, taking the money out of people's paychecks before the checks ever reached the workers. The government set up a system to pay itself first. And that's exactly what you need to do. And I've coached a lot of self-employed professionals, and I know that this is very hard to do because as a self-employed professional, it's different. The money reaches our hand before the government gets a hold of it. And so what often happens is we don't plan accordingly, and at the end of the year, there's thousands of dollars that are owed in taxes. And what many self-employed professionals end up doing is they owe back taxes from not just the previous year, but the year before that and the year before that. I've coached couples in my practice, and it's just a challenge because it's in our hands. So that's something to be aware of. So how can we change that? We have to learn how to pay ourselves first and make it automatic. What specifically does that mean? If you want to increase your savings, you want to think about like increasing your savings and reducing your debt and paying yourself first in these two areas. You also want to sit down with the financial planner and prioritize what your process is going to be like. So that's the first step. Identify the areas where you need to pay yourself first. If you're carrying high credit card debt with high interest rate, you're going to need to get rid of that because that money is that balance on your credit card is costing you money. And so you want to look at what kind of debt are you carrying and what areas do you need to increase savings in. Many people don't have an emergency cushion for themselves if something should happen and they get ill or they have an injury and all of a sudden they don't have money available if an emergency should come up, and they have to end up putting that on, they have to take on debt to take care of themselves in an emergency. If you don't have an emergency cushion set up, that is a great area to start on to prioritize as far as paying yourself first. There's also retirement, making sure that you're putting enough money towards your retirement. These are all greater details that I discuss in my 7-week financial dating summer camp. I just want to help you think about the concept of where can I start paying myself first? Is there debt that I need to pay down? Are there savings that I need to increase? And think about identifying those areas. And like I said, there's more involved than that. I do discuss it in greater detail, but for starters, think about that for yourself and your partner. If you have income that fluctuates, maybe one of the greatest things that you can do for yourself is setting aside enough money for the next couple of months, so that you can, when you have this windfall of cash, you know that you'll be taken care of for the next 2 months by the simple fact if you set aside your the amount of expenses to cover your expenses for the next 2 months. So that's number two. Pay yourself first and make it automatically. Make it automatic. Number three, identify your top financial goals. Know what it is that you really want. A lot of us end up spending money on things that really don't matter to us. Maybe they make us feel good in the moment. Maybe it's that, you know, maybe it's, you know, going away for the weekend and, you know, spending money on traveling and going shopping and buying some clothes, and we feel great in the moment, but all of a sudden we don't have the money available for the things that really matter, like funding our retirement plan. And it's really hard to make choices about, hey, do I want to go shopping and buy these, you know, this beautiful outfit, or do I want to save money for to make sure that I'm secure in retirement, or do I want to save money for that down payment on my house? It's hard to weigh your choices in the moment if you don't know what it is that you're working towards. The only way that you can know what it is that you're working towards is by identifying your top financial goals. So if we're in a relationship with our partner, and our partner's spending money, and we don't like how that money's being spent, or we're doing it ourselves, a good solution for this is to sit down and with our partner and decide what it is that we want to work towards achieving. And what do we want to work towards? You want to figure out what are the immediate goals, financial goals that you want to achieve. What are the long-term financial goals? And also what ends up coming out in this process is what are some of the financial goals that you that involve maintenance? What are some of the things that you're doing really well and you want to keep on doing? I'm going to move through these next three rather quickly because I want to have time for our couple that's going to be sharing a little bit with us on the call. The fourth one is understand the consequences of your actions. I call this I want what I want when I want it syndrome. And I wish I had a dollar for every time somebody in my class said how they struggled with this. They're like, I know I shouldn't be spending money, but I'm spending money this way, and I hate that. Or I hate that my partner's spending money this way. Often, we don't understand the consequences of our actions. And so the way to understand the consequences of our actions, let me give you a very simple exercise that you can do, is we have the choice of buying something that's fun in the moment or spending it on a top financial goal that we have. Say we have the financial goal of having a secure retirement. That's one that most everybody has. you sit down and you realize, oh my gosh, every month I am spending $125 in this particular area. And in my classes, I have people, I say, okay, tell me, where are the areas that you spend too much money in? And oh my gosh, the class comes alive. Everybody's yelling, shoes, you know, hair products, vacations, traveling. And, you know, the room becomes electric because it really excites people. And I have to point it out. I was actually teaching a money management for women class. And I stopped the women in the class and said, do you realize how the energy in this room just went up by, you know, 120% and everybody laughed? That's because it's fun. It's exciting. Spending money really is an adrenaline rush. But if you identify the area where you overspend money, so let's say it's $125 a month. Let's look at the consequences of overspending that money. I have a calculator on my website underneath the free resources section that you can use to kind of calculate your own numbers. But let's say you tend to overspend by $125 a month. At 9% interest, how much money do you think that you would have in 30 years if you invested that money instead of spending it on, let's say, dining out more than necessary, or buying snacks and coffee, or buying magazines? How much money do you think you might have if you invested that over a 30-year period at 9% interest? Somebody just throw out a number. Let's just have some fun with this. Don't worry if you're way off the mark. What do you think? $125 a month, if you invested that at 9%, what do you think you might end up with?
$100,000.
Good guess. Anybody else want to venture? You would end up with $204,461. And do you want to know how much money you would have put away of your own money? $45,000. If I put $45,000 on the table right now, and I put on the other edge of the table, let's see, what was it that I said? So if you could take $45,000 right now or $204,461 on the table, your choice, which would you take? It's a no-brainer.
Where can you get a 9% investment or something that's going to give you a 9% return?
When you invest it for the long term in a retirement account, you can get those kind of savings. You can get the standard is like 8 to 9 to 10%. But yet we spend that money so easily because we don't realize how much it's costing us. It's pretty shocking when we run those numbers. So you can do this for yourself on my website underneath the free resources. There's other calculators on the web. You don't have to use mine, but just know that's available. So if you're having an area, the bottom line here is, if you're having an area where you're overspending and you can't seem to get a handle on it, just figure out how much you're overspending each month. And then go to one of these calculators and calculate what that would be over a 10-year period or a 20-year period or a 30-year period. It can be very, very motivating. All right. So that's number four, understand the consequences of your action. Number five, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to skip to I told you I'd give you six. Let me just give you number five really quick. You need to work with your partner to effectively manage your money. So how do we manage money on a daily basis? If we're overspending, maybe we need to get creative with how we're spending our money. We definitely need to set up systems, as I mentioned, that help us pay ourselves first and that automate our money. And we also need to know where our money's going. So for starters, just sit down with your partner and keep all your receipts for a month, or look at your credit card statements, your online bank statements, and track your money. See what's happening. Give yourself a reality check. I call this get financially honest. write down what is the actual balance on your credit cards. How much debt do you owe? You would not believe how many people tell me, oh, I know how much debt I owe. It's, $5,000. I'm like, $5,000 is not an actual amount of how much debt you have. That's a guesstimate. And many times our guesstimates are completely off. So get financially honest. Know what's happening to your money and know how much debt you have and how much savings you have. Get honest with your money so you can start making different choices. But we can't make different choices until we know what's really happening. This is actually a financial date that I've developed, and I have the people that go through my 7-week financial dating workshop. I take them through an exercise where they get financially honest. So there's more steps involved, but for now, just know you need to get honest. The last step, number 6, is one that I am absolutely passionate and adamant about. Have a financial date. Have a financial date with your partner so that you're proactive instead of reactive. Set time aside to discuss what's happening with your money. If you don't talk about money proactively, I guarantee your money problems will have a great difficulty having your money problems go away. And so many people complain, oh, my gosh, you know, it's so frustrating. We don't have enough money. We're not saving enough money. But it's so much easier to talk about our financial struggles and how we don't like what our partner's doing in our relationship than it is to get proactive. And I teach couples how to get proactive by sitting down and talking about money. So I'll share more about that after we hear from the couple that's going to share a little bit about how financial dating has what kind of benefits they've received. But I'll give you more details about this financial dating system. But it has made amazing changes in people's lives, not only in their finances, but in how they work together as a couple, communicate, and in their ability to achieve their financial goals, too. So let's see. Roger and Rose, are you guys still there?
Yes, right here.
Good. Great. So I would, I guess my first question for the two of you, and it doesn't matter who, you know, would like to answer first, or maybe you both want to share together as a couple. What were some of the struggles and challenges that you were having around two things, money and marriage? You know, what were some of these struggles that you were having that motivated you to start having financial dates and to attend the workshop?
Well, I had two things going on. I have a business, and so there was the finances around a small business, and then there was the personal finances of my husband and I.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed because I didn't have a background in finances. I knew how to make money. Money could come through, and then I would buy things for my customers, and I didn't know how to save it or work with it at all, and it didn't really have a relationship with it. And whenever I would talk about money with my husband, he knew a lot more about money than I did, but he didn't apply it. He didn't really work with it as he knew it. And so we really didn't have a financial relationship. And because I'm a learner, I like to learn, I started working with you, and you helped me pretty much set an example because of the fantastic success I had working at the store. And so my husband started seeing the success, even though it wasn't necessarily doing things the way he would do.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, we started being able to have a dialogue together about money. And so my problem was that I didn't see, even though I was a successful business person, I really was not, I didn't successfully make money or make my money work for me other than taking care of my customers.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing how many people have successful businesses, but they have that exact challenge. You know, how do I make money work in my personal life? How do I have more money left over than what's actually going into the business? And the other thing that you said that I really like is that you started doing this work on your own. You started through individual coaching with me, getting an understanding of money, and then it sounds like that your husband saw the changes, saw you making progress, and...
Oh, yeah, dramatically.
And that... Huh?
It was very obvious, yeah.
Yeah,
he
wonderful. And so that provided the inspiration to have this buy-in with having financial dates. And I love that because I have people that ask me that say, well, I want to do this, but my partner isn't interested. And I tell them, do the work yourself. Once you don't wait for your partner to get on board.
Absolutely.
Start working on yourself. And then, you know, if your partner gets involved, wonderful. If not, you know, don't try to control it, but often our partners become inspired because of our own progress. Yeah, that's wonderful. We can't make changes in ourselves without affecting those around us.
And I especially liked it that you helped me work at my own pace with my personality. You know, it's almost like going through kindergarten with me, even though I've had a business for 30 years.
Uh-huh.
You helped me start having a relationship with money, whereas because my husband knew so much more about money than I did, and he knew the technical words and all that, we couldn't get started at all because we didn't have a mutual dialogue.
Mm. Yeah, and it's challenging because when we're with our partner, sometimes that gets in the way because we all come to our relationship with different levels of financial understanding. So many times it can be helpful to get a third person involved. Roger, what would you say were some of the challenges that you experienced before you started having the financial dates and attended the workshop?
Well, I would introduce myself as being the husband.
Okay.
And indeed, everything that Rose has said was just spot on. My background, I was a business and economics graduate and then studied economics at a graduate level. So, and for years and years, money was not a concern of mine. Money, if we needed more, I would just make more. I was never concerned about saving money. So, I would like to really tell everyone that it doesn't make any difference how sophisticated and how knowledgeable you might be about money, that if you just put on the brakes, stop, listen to Leslie, listen to your significant other, and have a financial date and start really sharing information about where you are with money and how you can each help each other work with it. I guess the thing that before I came into the financial dating arena was I was very secretive, I would play all of my finances and our finances and our savings very close. It was just part of me not opening up. And gee, financial dating is just turned that around so much.
Wow. Oh, that's so great to hear. It's just exciting. I can hear the sincerity in your voice.
I want to say a few things. I know we're running out of time here. I just wanted to, because I'm so excited about some of the things that you've helped me accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Could I mention a few things?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, and I've got this listed so I can say it, you know, I can read it off. Because of working with you, I've refinanced my loan and saved on my van and saved $2,800. I got rid of over $1,700 worth of credit card debt. I bought the property next door to my store. And you helped me come up with all the I did it from scratch, just all by myself, which is amazing. Worked with the bank presidents and officers and mortgage loan officers, and was not intimidated. I completely understood quite well how to carry on the negotiations. Opened up IRA. Just amazing. I mean, just really hardcore numbers. The evidence is there, and I'm just really excited. I feel like I've accomplished something.
Oh, and you have. That is so fantastic. It's been great seeing your progress, and it's been really exciting seeing your progress with your husband, because I remember you saying over a year ago, maybe it was even a year and a half ago, you swore that your husband would never have a financial date. And
absolutely.
And now here you guys have your financial dates together. And so maybe just to tie everything together, would maybe both of you share how this has changed your relationship and money? Maybe if you could think of one or two specific things that how financial dating has changed your relationship and your finances specifically as you've communicated.
I'd like to address that real quickly.
Sure.
And I like very much, as you've introduced this evening, the behavioral aspects of it and the financial aspects of what money really means. To me, now specifically, 25% of my income is all going in toward savings of one type or another.
Fantastic.
And that budgets, I always had a budget, never really lived up to it. And one of the things that you taught us to do was to look at that not as a budget, but as a spending plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that made a tremendous difference. The difference in a relationship, oh, I can use all kinds of words, empowering, closeness, harmony. It's just added great dimensions on all of those fronts. But the one thing that kind of overshadows everything is we're at peace with each other for the first time in years and years and years. I really feel a great personal peace.
That's wonderful. I don't know what to say. And that is such a huge...
I'm a person that I didn't think would ever even have a date.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have three dates every month, three times a month. And,
and we look forward to them.
Really do.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you. Sincerely, thank you. And
I want to put one little thing in there, and that is I like the accountability. I really like you helping me be accountable. I just got to throw that in.
No, I'm glad you said that. And that's the great thing about having financial dates with your partner, too, is it helps each individual become accountable to the other, because in this financial dating system, I teach couples how to set financial goals. And it sounds like a simple thing, but I promise you so many of us don't understand the effective way to set financial goals and achieve them. I don't even know what to say, except I sincerely thank you both for sharing your journey with everybody and how it's benefited you.
It's a pleasure, and we thank you.
Yeah.
You're so welcome.
You're part of our financial date.
I just love hearing people's stories. I've had so many wonderful stories shared by many different couples. I think I mentioned last week that had a couple that came to me and they were ready to get a divorce, and I had no idea that it had reached that extreme. But, I mean, they became just for this particular class that I had been holding, I mean, they were like the model students. It was amazing how many changes they made in their relationship and in their finances during the course of this particular workshop. So thank you again, Roger and Rose. All right, so we're running a little bit over. If you need to go, please, you know, feel free to go. I'll just share real briefly, once again, that link to the financial dating 7-week summer camp series. And then I'm going to tell you, this will probably just take about 5 more minutes, I'll tell you a little bit about what to expect, if that's something that feels like a good fit to you, what you can expect in this workshop. Once again, the website address is springwindcoaching.com/, that's with the slash leaning to the right, _newsletter/ summercampscholarship.tht. That's P as in Peter, HP as in Peter. springwindcoaching.com/_newsletter/summercampscholarship.tht. So in the Financial Dating Summer Camp, here are a few of the things that you will learn. You will learn a step-by-step approach to marriage and money success. Specifically, you'll learn how to get a clear financial picture and a checkup of where you are right now, where you want to be, and how you'll learn how to create an achievable action plan for getting there. You'll learn money management and relationship communication skills. I have yet to see this in any other financial planning workshop that's presented. Usually I see just the relationship part shared in some workshops and just the financial planning in others. But what's unique about this is that we combine the two of them, and I teach you how to work as a team with your partner. You'll learn how to manage your money more effectively and stick to a spending plan, not a budget, so your money is no longer managing you. I'll teach you how to overcome your money differences and get on the same page. And this, you know, I'll teach you about a life-changing program that empowers and teaches your partner how to work as a team, make the right money decisions, and achieve your personal and financial goals. So who is this class for anyway? It is really for everyone. It's for people who are financially secure, people who have stable incomes, people who have fluctuating incomes. It's for people who want to prevent problems in the future, prevent future conflict, and those who want to build a solid foundation, and those who have debt that they want to get rid of. So here's what you'll get during the Financial Dating Summer Camp. We will meet once a week on Tuesday nights for an hour and a half, and we'll have a weekly presentation where I'm presenting information on a particular step that you need to take around money and marriage. I'll teach you my financial dating success formula, so you'll know exactly what to do on your dates. It's not so simple as, hey, let's talk about money. Money frustrates us and can bring up a lot of emotions, so we need to learn how to talk about money in a connecting way. I'll teach you how to do that. We will also have weekly money and marriage mastermind calls. At the end of each lecture or presentation, we'll have about 30 to 40 minutes to mastermind as a group around your individual questions and your individual struggles. We will have an online forum where you can post your questions, get instant feedback. I'll provide you with written excerpts and financial dating worksheets for my upcoming book. So you'll get worksheets and handouts. One's called the Financial Dating Success Formula, 9 Secrets to Achieving Your Financial Goals, 7 Keystones to Having Effective Financial Dates, How to Create a Powerful Marriage and Money Dynamic, How how to change your money behaviors, how to get financially honest. Those are just a few examples. I mean, this book is thick, and I'm providing you with the juiciest, best parts from my book. And you'll also get a financial date that you can have with your partner so you can work with your partner as you go through the summer camp. You'll have access to recordings of each call. And the four special bonuses that I'm offering, and this is, I'll probably not offer these again, but I'm offering, along with a 7-week enrollment to the Financial Dating Summer Camp, you will get four private individual coaching sessions with me. You can work with me individually, or both you and your partner can work together during these coaching sessions, and these are via phone. You'll also get 50% off my financial dating book, and that'll be released in the fall. You'll also get a free financial dating quick start audio. This is a recording that will be released in the fall that will be like probably about 70 minutes each, that two CDs worth. What are the financial dating basics? So you never forget what those are. Because I've had people that go through my class, and I realize during the course of the class that they've forgotten some of these financial dating basics and essentials. So this is an audio that you can download to your computer and listen to over and over again. The last thing that I want to mention is that you have an opportunity, my special offer for those of you this evening on the call, is eligibility for a financial dating summer camp scholarship. I have a few scholarships available, and my regular price for the financial dating summer camp is, for two people attending, is four payments of $375 a month is what I actually changed that to. Four payments of $375 a month. That's what the regular price is for attending the financial dating summer camp. What I want to offer you is a special scholarship of four payments of $197 a month. That's the price that you pay for yourself, and your partner can attend for free. So once again, whether your partner attends or not, you can attend and take advantage of this work. If your partner is not ready to do it, you can make this progress on your own and learn about the system for yourself. And your partner's welcome to attend any time during the 7-week series that we're meeting. All these bonuses are listed on my website, and all these the presentations, the mastermind calls, the forum, the excerpts from my book, and the recordings, these are all things that you get with the summer camp series. So I really want to encourage you, if you have any questions at all, please give me a call. My number is 406-586-5561, and you can also email me. And were there any additional questions that people had? I wanted to mention one more thing about the fluctuating income, having varied income, that Mark had brought up in the beginning of the call, and Laura was talking about it as well. But I'd like to just kind of open the line to see if anybody has any questions about any information that I shared or about the summer camp. Okay. Well, let me just end then with sharing a little bit more about your question about how to deal with varied income. What you need to do, another suggestion for something that you can do, is write out, project how much money, project your cash flow is the terminology, that your expenses for 3 months out. Figure out how much money do you spend on a monthly basis. And then take that, write that up, and photocopy it on a sheet of paper. You know, how much money do you need for the mortgage? How much money do you need for groceries? How much money do you need for dining out? What are the, extra expenses that you tend to spend money on. Figure out what that is. Maybe it's $3,000 a month. Maybe it's $5,000 a month. But then let's say you were going to project your cash flow for the next 3 months. So that gives us August, September, October. You figure out what your expenses are, and then you estimate what's the income that you have lined up for right now. Maybe it's going to look a little scary. Maybe there's not much income lined up. But you look at that a couple of times a month, several times a month, and figure out how can you come up with the money deficit. Maybe you still need an extra $5,000 to get through those 3 months. Maybe you have to figure out line things up for each month. But as self-employed professionals, it's really easy to just deal with feast and famine instead of thinking how we can proactively plan for more money before we no longer have the money. We tend to react to, it's as if we've turned on a water spigot and the water's coming out and we have our hands underneath it, and then all of a sudden it gets turned off and there's no water coming out. But what I like to encourage couples and individuals to do is to plan for 3 months out so you keep that water running and you're never left with a dry well. Project your cash flow, and when money is abundant, put savings aside to cover yourself for the next several months out, or at least the next month out. It really has everything to do with planning ahead. All right. If there are there any other questions? Any questions at all? Okay.
No.
Well, what's that?
No further questions here.
Okay. Was that helpful, Mark?
Yeah. It's not fully clear, but I get the concept, I think.
Okay.
Planning out 3 months.
Tell me the part that is unclear to you. I'll see if I can explain it better.
Well, I guess we deal with so much. It's just very expensive here in San Francisco.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
uh-huh.
Like $1,500 for a one-bedroom apartment to rent and things like that. And my wife also was recently diagnosed with MS, so we're just dealing with a lot of kind of unexpected hospital visits and doctor visits and things like that. So it's just we always feel like we're in that kind of catch-up mode,
mm-hmm.
just to deal with, you know, what is currently owed on things, and then sort of last-minute things that pop up where here's another expense. And so we're always kind of playing that game of catch-up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hard with the freelance lifestyle to know, okay, how do you project what's coming in when we're not really sure what's coming in? Like, I mean, I find out by 6 p.m. the night before if I'm working the next day, basically.
Right. And the truth is, a lot of times you won't know what's coming in. But if you write out your next 3 months, right, if you do August, September, October, and you're looking at August, and you put down what's known, you know, maybe what's known is just a couple $1,000 project. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's not uncommon. and then you realize, okay, so if I get a couple of $1,000 from that project, what's the difference that I need to make up? And
mm-hmm.
you don't know where that money's going to come from, but all of a sudden you're looking at, oh, well, I need another $4,000. Where can I, what kind of project can I get to bring in that money? So it really serves as a motivation instead of,
right.
you know, instead of just waiting. It's like, oh, I need to be proactive now and set up that other project instead of
right.
hoping that it falls in my lap.
Yes. This is needed. This is needed.
Right.
Immediately.
right. Because, like I mentioned, a lot of self-employed professionals, that's the greatest challenge, is planning ahead so that we have a continuous stream of income instead of just, you know, the faucets on, the faucets off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could actually, you know, there's several ways that you could approach that, but that could actually, you know, one piece that you might want to focus on is how do I plan, what's my system for getting new projects? You know, so it kind of can become a business management approach in addition to a money management approach.
Sure.
Does that, yeah, you know, it's, so that's where, you know, you could look at really thinking about what is my business management approach for keeping the projects coming in. What can I do differently? What's working? What isn't working?
Yeah, and I think I'm also in a space where I'm doing that with my business right now. It's in transition.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of revamping it, and so it's a little unclear until I get that done. And
yeah.
Once that's done, I think it'll really help just give things more perspective, you know.
Right. And if you can, once again, I totally understand that you're dealing with health issues, too, that makes it very different and can be very challenging. And if you can just even have a guesstimate as far as, okay, what is, you know, what do we typically, you know, spend in this area of health, that I could just put that even as an estimate for what we might need for the coming months.
Sure.
Let me just take a quick moment and see. Sydney, are you still on the line? Okay, so she had to get off the call. Yeah, but do try that. Look at the planning. I mean, it's something that I can explain to you, but yet it's so different when you look at the numbers and all of a sudden you realize, oh, my gosh, you know, figure out that difference. We need this much. And look at that and then brainstorm with your partner, if that's possible. You guys get together as a, I like to call it a mastermind alliance, and think creatively, how might we come up with that difference that we need? You know.
Yeah, and when we do talk finances, it's always a difficult walk through the briar patch. But, like, once we do it, it's like, there's just relief. You know, it's just opening up to each other and getting on.
Oh, wonderful.
Going on, you know. I mean, so we do practice it, and we've recently gone through it, which actually initiated making this call, too. How can we do it better, you know?
Oh, that is so fantastic. And please, you know, if this does, I trust the two of you, you know, as far as knowing what's best for you. And I do want to throw it out there. If you feel like that this is something, as far as learning more of how to communicate, what steps do you need to take to achieve your goals, you may want to look into the summer camp that's being offered. And if it's not the right time, I also have newsletters that come out. But I love what you said about how it's just an opening when you actually talk about it.
You know? Oh, yeah, because she's much better with the funds than I am.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, I'm going to look at your spending and see what you're spending on, what your debts are. And let me tell you, that was the hardest thing I've ever done in our relationship.
Oh.
Because, you know, I probably was the money avoider at that point, or at least the avoider of reality.
Uh-huh.
And to, like, have the light shined on it was just horrifying.
Yeah.
But then and she was, you know, kind of giggling the whole time. She's like, don't worry, it's, you know, I'm not going to leave you or anything.
Right.
You just need to, like, shine the spotlight on and see where, what nooks and crannies all the money's getting caught up in so that we can,
yeah,
you know, move from there.
That's fantastic.
It was done, it was just like, okay, I guess I can breathe now. And now I know the reality as opposed to avoiding whatever was going on. And
right.
Yeah, Mark, that light that's shining on you is one that shined on me, and it is a light that also will show you the route to freedom. But it's,
yeah, well, I also related to your sharing about just kind of being secretive around spending and stuff, and I totally had been guilty of that, too, in our relationship. We just got married a year ago, so we're learning how to do this together, you know, for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
As a couple. Yeah.
It's a great time to be learning about it.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you guys, seriously.
Congratulations. You guys are doing it in the first year, and Leslie did it in the first 3 years. And, boy, I wish we had done it way back then.
Yeah. It really creates breathing room in the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Leslie. I'm going to leave the line, and thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Mark, just your quick takeaway then. Maybe since you guys have taken the step as far as getting honest about where you're at, think about what, you know, have you identified your financial goals? And then, what, you know, identify maybe the top three areas and then create a plan for how you're going to, you know, work towards that. It's something, you know, it takes a lot of time sometimes. We know what our challenges are, but yet to overcome them, another thing.
Yeah, well, we just got a new accountant, and he suggested that we, the two of us, kind of incorporate our businesses for certain advantages for, you know, well, specifically for health insurance for her, because then we can join, like, a group health insurance thing, and as opposed to this, you know, COBRA thing that she's now on. But that's a whole other ball of wax, really. And maybe, but maybe by, you know, combining the businesses in that way, which they're two radically different businesses, but it'll help focus our monies through our businesses and our personal accounts too.
Yeah, and that's great to work with an accountant, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, they add, yes, I am a big proponent of working with, you know, financial experts, so that's great that you guys are doing that.
And congratulations on your anniversary.
Oh, thank you. And congratulations on your 1 year.
Thanks. It was June 24th.
Oh, wow. Ours was June 26th. So we're right there.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, have a wonderful evening. Thanks for your questions.
Thanks for your extra time. And I'll, you know, I'll talk to my wife and see if she's open to checking out the summer camp and whether we can fit that into our monetary budget right now.
Oh, yeah, great. Just figure out what, you know, what makes sense for you and think about, you know, what it is that you guys want to work towards achieving and how that might help you, you know, achieve your goals if it feels to be a good fit. But good luck, and I wish you the very best.
Thanks so much.
All right. Good night, everyone. Bye.